Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 74.
Sticking with the movie theme.
Yeah.
Because there's no more sports.
That's right.
Until like Gretzky.
Yeah.
Godfather 2, 1974.
Oh, nice.
And for the genre freaks, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Tobe Hooper.
Right on, dude. Yeah. Right on.
Kind of redefining the whole genre right there.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, that's a pretty influential film.
Yeah.
What's up with you, man?
Oh, not much. Just this weather's getting hot. It's getting uncomfortable in my place. It's just my back gets sweaty and then it sticks to the couch. It's gross.
Yeah, it's been warm. It's been cooler the last couple days.
Yeah.
It's supposed to rain on Thursday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
I don't mind that.
No, me neither.
That's cool.
It's weird when you're in Texas and it rains and it's still over 100 Fahrenheit, though.
It's gross.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That giant rainstorm we had at Fantastic Fest?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was
sickening.
Yeah.
Not enough cover for all those nerds.
No.
Us nerds, I should say.
Yeah, so Horizon Zero Dawn put out a big patch and put out New Game Plus.
Okay.
And it's starting to ruin my life all over again.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, I think I'm another 30 hours in.
Oh, nice.
You keep on getting experience.
Yeah.
Even though you're level capped.
Okay.
So when the DLC comes out, you'll have the extra levels.
Okay.
So I'm cool with that.
Nice.
Awesome game.
Right on.
Romelu Lukaku to Manchester United.
I saw that bullshit, dude.
We have a big striker. Premier League, baby.
Oh, man.
We're winning it. New captain, Michael Carrick.
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney is now on Everton.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
What's up with that? That's crazy.
I don't have a problem. He was a bench player, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
On the topic of Wayne Rooney, did you ever read his tweet about Whitney Houston?
No. What did he say?
I shouldn't laugh. Okay, so this is February 12th, 2012. I don't like to laugh at people when they're mourning, right? Like, of course, this is kind of a regular occurrence.
At the same time, I'm pretty sure Wayne Rooney didn't know Whitney Houston.
That's true. So I'll read you this tweet. And just as a temperature check, I read it to Sarah, and she immediately started laughing. Like, she doesn't know who Wayne Rooney is.
Nice.
So I said, here it goes. Whitney has passed away. R.I.P. You will live on forever. Can't believe it. I want to run to you. Really can't believe this. At.
Wow.
The I want to run to you. Like,
is he Brian Adams? Me. Like, what the fuck?
I don't know. It's amazing, though.
Nice. Jesus.
I'm going to start saying that every time I RIP somebody on my Twitter.
Dude, I have so much to talk about. This is insane.
Yeah, let's do it.
Jodie Whittaker is the new Doctor Who.
That's awesome.
Destroyed the internet.
Yeah, it did.
Everybody's so, like, hypersensitive about it.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
She's a great actress.
Like, what's your problem?
Yeah.
And then I'm totally down with that.
Totally.
Yeah. Watch Attack the Block.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Enough said.
Yeah. And Broadchurch?
Yeah, she's Attack the Block.
Yeah.
You might not like Broadchurch. It's kind of a slow procedural. But Attack the Block.
Cool.
Game of Thrones, motherfucker.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It's back.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, man.
Starts off with an absolute holy shit moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the rest of the episode's set up a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, cool.
You could check in with all the people you love and maybe some of the people you hate. Oh, man,
I'm looking at you, Littlefinger.
he's such a snake.
I hate him, though.
I
don't like him at all.
Yeah.
I still think my favorite character on the show might be the Hound.
He's good.
I love the Hound.
Yeah, man.
He's just had a really crappy life.
He has.
And I don't think he's actually that bad of a dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And since that day he saved Sansa during that riot, I think he's kind of...
The path to redemption.
Maybe has that been him the whole time?
Yeah.
Who knows?
He just had that burn on his face and everybody thought he was just a weird dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's a great show.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're not watching Game of Thrones, there's something really wrong with you.
Yeah, man.
Really wrong with you.
Yeah.
I don't care if you don't like what I just said.
That's sorry. Right.
It's not sorry.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Criterion.
Yeah.
October 2017. Barry Lyndon,
yeah.
Stanley Kubrick,
yeah.
Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me, David Lynch,
yeah.
Personal Shopper,
hell yeah,
Olivier Assayas,
yeah, man,
right after Film Fest,
yeah, that's gonna suck.
Seriously,
that's gonna suck, dude.
Like, I gotta have all of those,
yeah, man.
Fuck.
That's going to be like, what, $120 for us?
Oh,
buy all three minimum.
Might even be more.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, those are all must buys.
Oh yeah,
Criterion just killing it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
yeah.
This weekend we're seeing Dunkirk.
Yes,
in 70mm.
That's
in
right.
Vancouver at the Park Theater.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't talked to you about this, but bring your recorder.
Oh yeah,
I might have some words.
Oh cool.
Yeah,
right on.
We got some friends there.
Oh cool. Yeah,
so I'm hoping they might join.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
didn't think of that.
Yeah, just a little bonus show maybe.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
Thinking out of midair here.
Yeah,
the crappy part of the show. Yesterday was really great for Game of Thrones.
Yes,
but it was really crappy because some pretty cool people died.
Yeah.
First one. George A. Romero.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, man.
A guy who should have lived forever. Like,
yeah.
He was only 77, too.
That's right.
Died of cancer.
Yeah.
Supposedly, he just got diagnosed, too.
That's sad.
Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Pretty much the most influential horror film ever made.
Yeah.
Start a black guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And he did that with all his films,
totally.
Right? Like, a black man in the lead. And
yeah, and they were always about... nothing about zombies. It was always about war or political culture.
Consumerism.
Or something like that. He made a zombie film that was never a zombie film.
That's right.
It was so great. Like yeah. He made Creepshow.
Yeah.
Creepshow is awesome.
Yeah.
Stephen King.
Yeah.
As a guy covered in moss. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
My personal favorite is Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, same here.
Love that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that may have been the first film, one of the first films, and I can never figure this out, but that may have been one of the first films that taught me about subtext in movies.
Yeah.
Because I'll never forget the moment it clicked for me when they were doing the announcements for a big sale at so-and-so's store. Gotta go get this hot new item, 50% off.
Yeah.
And they show the zombies, like, trying to get in. And they're like, oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Subtext.
Damn.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, he will be missed. I tell you the truth, I haven't liked a lot of the last, like, probably 5 Dead movies.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been terribly good.
Yeah.
But man, you gotta bow down to the masters.
Oh, totally.
And he was the man.
Yeah.
Yeah. He invented pretty much, you know, everybody talks about Walking Dead. No Walking Dead without George A. Romero.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll be missed. One of the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin Landau.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It stings.
Yeah. Another great, he started off in television.
Oh, is that right?
It worked a lot of television.
Okay.
Until, like, maybe, like, North by Northwest,
mm-hmm.
where he was, like, a villain in that film
okay.
for Alfred Hitchcock. He was in some great movies, man. Like, Crimes and Misdemeanors, the Woody Allen film.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite Woody Allen films.
Oh, cool.
Ed Wood.
Ed Wood, yeah.
Yeah. Bela Lugosi.
Yeah.
Fuck you! Karloff!
Yeah.
Yeah, don't call him Karloff's sidekick. He'll fucking lose his mind.
That's right.
I love Ed Wood.
Yeah.
It's such a great film. He was in like Frankenweenie.
Yeah. Yeah, he did voiceover stuff.
And dude.
Yeah.
He was on Entourage.
That's right. He was.
He was on Entourage.
That's right.
I was looking at his IMDb post and I'm like, fuck, he was on Entourage.
That's hilarious.
He's in the movie, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Martin Landau was cool.
Yeah, anytime he showed up, just pure class, man.
Yeah, he was a classically trained actor who I think didn't quite like Hollywood. But, he always showed up.
Oh, yeah.
He was always one of the best things in the movie. So,
yeah,
once again, another great character actor.
Yeah, man.
We're losing him a lot this year, and it really sucks.
Yeah.
He was pretty old. He was 89.
That's true.
And the last, you know, couple times I saw him, he looked pretty frail.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Boom. Yeah. It's a tough day.
It was a very tough day. It's because, you know, you relate to these men so much and they give us so much. And, you know, for us, you know, I never met either one of them. But through their art, you could feel closer to them and get a real sense of who they were. And they can teach you things. They can entertain you. And they're gone now. It's so sad.
Hopefully they'll have some sort of weird, like, tribute to Romero at Fantastic Fest or something.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah, because, who knows if Fantastic Fest happens without him, totally. You know? Like,
yeah. That's it for me. Sorry to, you know, do this. Like, I feel like we have to talk about it, but I don't like doing it.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah. It does suck, but these are important people that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's it for me.
Yeah, same here. Not a lot going on in my life other than just work and try to stay cool and hanging out with my cat on the weekends.
Nice.
Yeah.
Taking some mean tweets with it.
That's right. That's right. All about it, man.
How about a little rant action?
Yeah, let's get into the rant. I'll go first because I didn't write mine down. But sure. I better do it while I still have it.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Yeah, we'll do it live.
Do it live.
That's right. Fucking thing sucks. Okay. So my rant is about the Dark Tower, which has been a marketing nightmare ever since it was announced. You know, the trailer is delayed and people are freaked out about the release date.
Trailer doesn't look very good either.
That's true. Elba has that one cool line, and other than that, well, we'll see. I'll wait and see the movie.
Yeah, we judge things after we've seen them.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a cool idea, right?
Oh, it's weird. Yeah,
I know.
Like, you can say your impressions, like, okay, I'm not, like, we just did it. Like, we're a little bit worried going in, but we'll see what happens after we see it. But there's a whole subsection of Twitter who are mad over the runtime for the movie. That's like 94 minutes, I believe. And they're pissed off because the first book couldn't possibly be told in 94 minutes. And they just think it's another, you know, another bad sign for this movie that appears to be doomed. And of course, it's buried in August, which isn't a good sign. But you never know, dude. Like, I'm going to go in and hope for the best. But I just can't imagine getting so upset over looking at the runtime of a movie without seeing the film first.
I got no time for the prejudgment. I really don't. I've seen plenty of great movies that were under 80 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
So that means nothing.
Yeah.
Maybe they actually had an editor for the film, unlike Stephen King books.
That's true. Yeah.
Some of those Stephen King books, they're really long.
Oh, yeah.
And they need to be edited.
Yeah.
Like The Stand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to put out a new edition where I put like 400 extra pages into it. Oh, it's like, Jesus, dude. So my rant, just me being stupid. Like, it's little things, man. The little things.
Yeah.
If you have a movie podcast, can you please learn how to say the name of the movie you're reviewing? Is it that tough?
No, it's not.
So I'm listening to a podcast. I'm not going to name it. That'd be mean.
That's right. We're not mean here.
But if you hit me up on Twitter, maybe I'll tell you. They were reviewing the movie Okja.
Yeah.
And they couldn't say the word Okja.
Oh.
It was Okja. What? Okay, so if you've seen the film, they say the word Okja maybe 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
It's not hard to hear. They're not saying it in Korean. Paul Dano says it like 6 times at least.
Oh, yeah.
Did you actually watch the movie? Yeah. Are you just faking this one? It sure looks like it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just be better.
Yeah.
Should strive.
Yeah.
Be better.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every actor in that movie said Okja multiple times.
Paul Dano's character sounds it out pretty much once.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He says it so slow.
That's right.
Yeah. Rant out.
And ditto for that for character names, too. Or not character and actor names.
Yeah.
When people can't pronounce their names. And I get, like, you know, if you have a French actor or actress, sure, that's tough. But
if you can't say Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's right. You've got some problems, dude.
You know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
If you can't say Jake Gyllenhaal, you're a f***ing.
Good rant. I agree with you, man.
Nice.
Right there with you. Okay, so now that we got some rant action out of our systems, let's get into some movies. Let's talk about the first movie. Let's talk about Spider-Man Homecoming.
The joint venture between Stark Industries and the federal government, the Department of Damage Control, will oversee the collection and storage of alien and other exotic materials. Experts estimate there are over 1,500 tons of exotic materials scattered throughout the tri-state area.
Hey, Chief, we still have another load from yesterday. You're supposed to turn this in, right?
I ain't hauling it.
It's too bad. We could have made some pretty cool stuff from all that alien junk.
I tell you what. Let's keep it. The world's changing. It's time we change too.
So what does IMDb have to say about Spider-Man Homecoming?
Directed by John Watts. Did you see his first movie, Cop Car?
Oh, I did, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good little movie. Peter Parker, with the help of Tony Stark, tries to balance life as an ordinary high school student in New York City while fighting crime as his superhero alter ego Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Tom Holland, Michael Keaton, Robert Downey Jr., Marissa Tomei, and Jon Favreau. What'd you think?
I liked it. I wasn't in love with the film. First thing I wanted to mention is that I like the tone they get in this movie. It's very light. It's very fun. You get a sense of Peter Parker, the high school kid, not Peter Parker, guy in his early 30s. So that...
Oh, come on. Andrew Garfield was maybe only 27.
Okay. Approaching 30. But this felt like the first time that you got a sense of Peter Parker, the kid, not Peter Parker, the man-child playing a kid. And I liked sort of the balance they went for of him deciding whether he should just be a kid or if he should be a superhero and how to arrange his priorities. Like, that's a tough thing to deal with at any age, let alone whether you're 16.
So initially, right off the top of this film, I was impressed because it might be the first time ever on a reboot that they didn't give us an origin story.
That's true, yeah.
They expected us to know Spider-Man's story.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Because I already know it.
Yeah.
Like, Zack Snyder told us Batman's backstory in Batman vs. Superman.
Yes.
Who hasn't seen Dark Knight? Seriously.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, big thumbs up to Marvel for that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do more of that.
They had one line that it was just kind of throwaway. Like, the kid's like, so a spider bit you, right? And he's like, yeah. And that was it.
I expected this to be good, but I think it's just good.
Yeah.
It drags in the middle.
Oh, big time.
There's a couple scenes in that film that just go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
One involving a party. Holy crap.
Oh, way too long.
But man, when it hits really good.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Holland is perfect.
He's good, yeah.
He's really perfect. He feels like, yeah, you're right. He really feels like he's a high school student.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like he's kind of an outcast.
Oh, yeah.
Him and his friend Ned.
Yeah.
Another problem with the film.
Yeah.
A little too much of Ned.
Yeah, I thought there was way too much of Ned.
Yeah.
I thought, like, his first stuff was good. And I was like, oh, he's going to be here the whole freaking movie, isn't he? And
but
he
drags it down. I still think it's kind of cool that he has a sidekick.
That's true.
Who's not Harry Osborn.
That's true, yeah. Doesn't have James Franco.
Yeah. Yeah, he's believable. Robert Downey Jr. shows up to piss me off because I fucking hate Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is light Tony Stark.
Yeah.
He shows up for a bit and he actually kind of has a purpose.
Yeah, that's true.
He tries to get him to smarten up.
Lessons to teach him.
Because he's kind of reckless.
Yeah.
Just does whatever he wants.
Oh, yeah. And
that's not cool. He can't. He's a high schooler.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Keaton solving the Marvel villain problem.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton's awesome in this film.
Yeah, man. He's great. I loved him because he's a terrific villain with motivations that make sense and anchored by a great performance from Michael Keaton. Like, we were all expecting this, but to give him that to play with. And in a way, I was kind of rooting for him at some parts in the movie.
Yeah, think about Michael Keaton. You look at him, and he just looks like he's a little bit crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he brings that to all of his roles, including Birdman.
That's true, yeah.
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 Weird that he's playing the Vulture in Birdman.
The Vulture, yeah.
And he played Batman.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
All over the place. A friend of mine and I had this conversation a couple days ago. Could you imagine what Sam Raimi could have done in the Marvel Universe?
Oh, yeah. That would have been cool to see.
I'm thinking, that would have been really cool.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 1 was good. Spider-Man 2 is really good.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man 3 might be the worst film ever made.
Yeah.
But he would have been great. Throw some Bruce Campbell in there. Some cool Three Stooges camera shit.
Oh, totally.
Would have been cool.
Yeah.
Did you notice the star of Beasts of No Nation was in that film?
I was looking for him, but I didn't see
him. He was one of the smart people in Washington who went to that tournament thing.
Oh, was he? Okay.
He was a kid with the accent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I was happy to see his name there, but I couldn't spot him.
Yeah, I'm super happy he's getting work.
Yeah.
It's a fun film. It's really funny. It plays on the heartstrings. I like Marissa Tomei is really good and her really limited role.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, middle tier.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Guardians 1/Logan good.
Yeah.
But it's like a 4 out of 5.
Yeah. I'd probably give it about a 3.5. Just because, like, on the topic of Marissa Tomei, she seems to be just thrown in there to be the hot auntie, which I know you can't deny that she's a very beautiful woman. She's a little bit older. But they seem to play on that a little too much in this. And every time Tony Stark shows up, he's always kind of hot Aunt May thing. And the little kid was even commenting on it, too. And I was like, that's kind of weird.
I'm good with Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I don't mind like a comment here and there, but it seemed to be her only, the only thing she was put there for,
yeah.
I guess. That's the way it felt, and it felt a little bit weird to me. And I'd love to see her do more.
Weirdly, I was probably in the 3.5 range first time I saw it.
Yeah.
Then I saw it again, and I bumped it to 4.
Okay.
All the little problems I had were a little bit more smoothed out the second time.
Okay.
I liked it more.
Cool.
But still not enough to give it like a 4.5.
Yeah.
Which I think is what they kind of wanted out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's watchable.
Yeah, very watchable. And one last note I wanted to talk about is how diverse the youthful cast is. You know, like his love interest is a young black girl, and they never really make comment of that. It's just the way it is. And, you know, his sidekick is a young Asian boy, and they never talk about that. It's just he's his best friend, and they never make comment on that, and that's cool. And that's just the way it is these days, right?
Probably my favorite character in the film is Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle.
The awkward outcast who just says the funniest lines out of nowhere and doesn't care.
Yeah, yeah. She has some great stuff out of nowhere. Yeah, that she was good too.
Yeah.
Seeing that diverse cast, I think will give, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, young kids of color something to root for, some people to identify with, rather than, you know, Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst and James Franco, like that. Maybe they can't relate to them the way they can relate to these people. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to make a big deal out of it. It's just the way it is in the movie, and it works. I think that's great.
Yeah. Cool. I think we're both on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
Good movie.
Yeah. A lot of people seen it already. So.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this deciding, you've probably already decided, right? Probably have seen it already. Okay, so let's move on to our next movie. Let's talk about The Big Sick.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. My name's Kumail.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, we saw you perform.
Now that the niceties are out of the way, I have to tell you that when you yelled at me, it really threw me off, and you really shouldn't heckle comedians. It's so rude.
I didn't heckle you. I just woo-hooed you. It's supportive.
Okay, that's a common misconception.
Uh-huh.
But yelling anything at a comedian is considered heckling. Heckling doesn't have to be negative.
So if I yelled out, like, "You're amazing in bed," that'd be a heckle?
Yeah, it would be an accurate heckle.
Cool.
No. Goodbye.
Oh.
No,
you can...
I'm going.
You scared my friend off now.
Okay, so for those uninitiated, what is The Big Sick all about?
Directed by Michael Showalter, this might be the worst IMDb quote ever.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm not joking here.
Wow.
I don't think you're ready.
Okay, I'm buckled up.
A couple deals with their cultural differences as their relationship grows.
Wow, that is awful. That is so awful.
Does that even describe like 10 minutes of the film?
No, not at all. That's terrible.
Somebody get paid for that?
Somebody watched the trailer once and wrote that.
Okay, so a man and a woman get together. The man is Pakistani and the woman is white. There's a whole bunch of relationship issues because their parents want him to get arranged.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want to tell his parents about his white girlfriend.
Yeah.
And that bothers the female and they break up.
Yeah.
And then a couple days later, she falls into a coma.
Yeah.
Does that sound a little better to IMDb?
Yeah. That explains it.
Something. I don't know. Kumail Nanjiani, Zoe Kazan, Holly Hunter, and Ray Romano. This is a lovely little film, which is weird because it's a Sundance winner.
That's true.
Which usually is an automatic disqualification.
That's true.
It won the Audience Award.
Yeah.
The acting is stellar.
Oh, yeah.
All around.
Yeah.
And Nanjiani is going to get an Oscar nomination.
He better, man.
Because he's amazing.
He shows us his range in this. And he's always been kind of the quiet, almost kind of meek, funny guy.
Yeah, he's always really funny yelling at Guilfoyle on Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that's pretty much where I think everybody's going to know him from, right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a comedy special.
Yeah.
But, yeah, nothing like this.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He is really, really good, man.
It's a really touching film.
It is.
Might have shed some tears.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
In multiple scenes, actually.
Yeah.
Especially one scene where, this is what kind of weirded me out in the film. He quote unquote goes on stage and bombs by telling his heart out to the crowd. And everybody says he bombs. But when somebody like Tig Notaro does it, it's like a genius thing. And everybody talks about podcasts and how they're going to put it out and everything. I found it really odd because I was listening to what he said and it was so great.
Yeah.
And then the movie, like, he bombed. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, they treated it like, yeah. And even his friends were like, that was the worst thing ever.
And I'm like, really? Yeah. Okay. It took me out of the film a little bit.
He's burying his soul. Yeah, that stuff really bugged me, too.
And meanwhile, the scene that they're saying he bombed in, I'm like crying watching it. I'm just Jesus.
Yeah.
This is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But enough of me being stupid. Yeah, the whole thing about the arranged marriages, he has to not marry a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then she falls into the coma, and he meets her parents.
For the first time, yeah.
Outside of the in the hospital waiting room, after he's called them to tell them that, you know, I've never met you, but your daughter's in a coma, come to Chicago, they spark a relationship. We all know Holly Hunter's great.
Oh, yeah.
Always great.
Yeah.
But you know what? I really like Ray Romano in this film.
Yeah.
I know Adrian doesn't. I think his weirdness and, like, kind of awkwardness make all the scenes where he has to make it hit, hit better because he's so weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, whenever he was delivering a line, I couldn't help but think, this is just Ray Romano saying a line, and maybe that's not giving him enough credit, but I couldn't get past that. Like, I don't think I've ever been a Ray Romano fan.
No, me neither. Yeah. I couldn't tell you what a show was about.
Yeah, I could. I hang out with my dad once in a while, so he watches all the shows.
Nice.
I didn't really enjoy his material. I thought it was pretty flat. It didn't really work for me.
See, I liked Romano on this one, but I understand because I watched Glow, and I'm like, that's Marc Maron.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
That's not whoever that guy is. That's Marc Maron.
Yeah.
I listen to his podcast every week.
Yeah.
And yeah, I understand it. But yeah, I thought he was good. Yeah, you know, subjective, man.
Yeah.
He told me why he didn't like it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it wasn't enough to, like, ruin the experience for me. It couldn't be farther from that. I just kept thinking they got somebody else.
Yeah, I also really enjoyed the comedy scenes stuff where they were in the club and behind the stage and, you know, David Greer's in the bathroom doing coke.
That's right. Yeah.
For all you In Living Color fans.
That's right.
And then they'd all go up and do their set.
Mm-hmm.
And Kumail's set was funny.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about heroin. And
yeah.
So good.
What did he call it? Cheese?
Yeah, cheese.
That was so good. Yeah.
But yeah, this is a delightful little film that I think I could pretty much tell everybody to go and watch.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really offensive. It's funny. My 12-year-old cousin would like it, and my dead grandma would like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have grandma anymore.
So yeah,
I was going to say grandma, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good little film. It's like a 4.5 out of 5 kind of film for me.
Yeah.
I think it really hits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was about a 4 out of 5. I'm going to be that guy on this episode.
It's not a bad episode. It's not a bad rating.
Yeah. I just, like, with the Ray Romano stuff, and there were times in the movie where I thought it dragged a bit, and I'm not just saying that because it's Apatow's involved as a producer and stuff. There were just some times where I thought, okay, we've lost some momentum here. But the thing is, like, Kumail Nanjiani just knocks it out of the park.
I wish there was more for Zoe Kazan.
That's true.
Yeah. I like her quite a bit.
Yeah. Holly Hunter, she destroyed me in this movie. Like, she was great too. And for Kumail Nanjiani to not only hold his own, but to stand out with Holly Hunter and Ray Romano on the other side of him, like...
The great Ray Romano.
The incredibly average Ray Romano in his most Ray Romano voice ever.
I don't think his voice actually fluctuates the entire film.
It doesn't. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
He's got no inflection in his voice. Give me Albert Brooks or somebody else. I don't know. But...
Well, yeah, one's a genius and one's Ray Romano.
That's right. Yeah. But I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, I can't imagine anybody watching this and having a bad time.
Yeah, you're a freaking animal if you don't like this movie. Like, it's probably one of the most watchable films of the year.
Oh yeah.
This movie has been made not to offend people.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
But I like it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, for every, you know, deep subtitled Swedish film I watch, I got to have a little bit of Big Sick.
That's right.
Yeah, cleanse the palate.
Yeah. And if you're one of those people who needs to wait until it's on demand or streaming, it'll eventually hit Amazon Prime.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
an Amazon Studios
it's an
film.
Amazon movie, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, you know, if you're saving a few bucks and you have to make a tough choice, eventually it'll be on Amazon Prime Video.
Cool.
Oh, nice.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But support it if you can.
Exactly.
For sure. So I'm glad we did. Yeah. Yeah, why not? Cool. Well, let's move into our next movie.
This might be weird.
Yeah, I have no idea what to expect out of this one, dude.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked much since this one came out. So, Matt Reeves. Matt Reeves' latest film, War for the Planet of the Apes.
My God. Look at your eyes. Almost you. How did you know I was here?
I was told you were coming. That more soldiers from the north would be joining you here.
Joining me?
To finish us off. For good.
Who told you that?
All right, so why don't you tell our listeners, what is War of the Planet of the Apes all about?
After the apes suffer unimaginable losses, Caesar wrestles with his darker instincts and begins his own mythic quest to avenge his kind. Andy Serkis, Woody Harrelson, and Steve Zahn. So you know what the problem with this film is?
Oh, what's that?
I've seen Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And it's probably the best tentpole movie of the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It is.
This one is good, but it pales in comparison to that film.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, everybody is talking about how this is, like, better than Dawn.
Are you serious?
And I'm like,
oh, no.
Like, people are saying this is, like, the best film of the year.
Wow. Not on my watch, motherfucker.
So it's a good film that has a lot of problems.
Yeah. You see, for me, like, calling it a good film is, I don't want to say it's a reach, but that's about as far as I'd go on a good day. That I'm feeling generous.
Can we agree on the acting/mocap being absolutely spectacular?
Oh, absolutely.
Like out of this world good?
Yeah, Andy Serkis and even Steve Zahn is really good in that role.
Yeah, Serkis is on another level.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody better at this. Maybe like him and Toby Kebbell.
Yeah.
But yeah, people talking about Oscar. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's CG.
Yeah. I liked him better in Dawn.
So did I.
Yeah.
Dawn's perfect.
It is.
It's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
I would even say the first one's better than this one.
Yeah, me too. I thought this was the weakest of the three.
Yeah. The first one's absolutely great too.
Mm.
It's got a great first act, middling second act.
Yeah.
A lot longer than it should be.
It's excessively long.
And the third act is good, but it's a little too America fuck yeah for me.
Yeah.
Like helicopters and missiles big giant armies. I'm just like, where the hell did they come from? Wasn't there like some sort of like flu that killed everybody?
Yeah. It really feels like the studio interfered somewhere along the way and said, okay, we need you to do the Apocalypse Now thing.
Dude, they even wrote Apocalypse Now on a wall.
Yeah. Oh, did they?
Did you not see that?
I didn't see that.
When they were underground in like those caverns, somebody had like spray painted on the wall Apocalypse Now.
I erased that from my memory. Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, I remember that.
There's a fucking scene of Woody Harrelson cutting his, like shaving his head with a knife.
Yeah.
That's like a direct like rip from Apocalypse Now. But yeah. Wow. Wow.
And we need you to ape every prison movie ever.
Totally.
Prisoner of War movie ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Grand Illusion had more tension than that part.
That's right.
But, some good stuff. Because I did like this film.
Yeah.
I'm sounding a little mean on it, but I'm riffing with Adrian right now. Riffing
That's
with Adrian.
Right. Yeah.
I loved Caesar and his tragedy, his like PTSD over Koba. Thought that was really awesome.
That was really cool.
And in the opening scene, something happens to Caesar, which even brings it even more to a higher level. Damn. And I love the emotion of Caesar throughout the entire film.
Oh, yeah.
As I said, circus, another level. Woody Harrelson's good, you know, other than when he has Kurtz's face paint on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many days was he on set for? Like 3 days?
4 hours tops. And he's second billed.
That's crazy.
The audience I saw it with absolutely fucking hated this film.
Really?
To the point where they were laughing at these apes subtitles on the screen because they're like doing sign language.
That's right.
Yeah. It almost felt like what it would be like seeing the tribe in a 1,000-seat theater at a regular screening.
That's true.
Yeah. People laughed at this.
Yeah. On that topic, though, I wanted to say something that really, really bugged the hell out of me during this movie. There were moments where, say, Maurice was behind Caesar, signing Caesar, and Caesar responds as if he knows what Maurice just said.
He is Caesar.
I guess so.
His mind has been made bigger.
Okay.
And he has these abilities.
Okay.
I'm trying to... Yeah, it's stupid.
There was even a moment where he's looking through binoculars and they're having a conversation while one of them is signing to him. I'm like, okay, I don't know how to sign language, but I think you actually have to see. It was a weird nitpick, but they did it so much during the movie that it actually pissed me off.
But yeah, is that first act so good?
It is.
Yeah.
Really good. I can't deny that.
Yeah. I think the rest of it's watchable enough for it to be a 4-star film. But can we get to the point now where we can say that, you know, these characters are CG and this is almost on the level of like Avatar and how great it actually is. Like,
oh,
this,
yeah.
Caesar is the main character of this film and he is CG.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And you don't even think about it while you're watching
No.
it. It's just, it's all real to you.
Because they're real. Like, it's as close as you're going to get to a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
The facial, like, the motion capture is so good. Like, the facials, the expressions. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, I'm still giving it a 4, but it's a disappointment.
Yeah, it is. It is big time. I'm more in the 2.5 out of 5
Ooh,
range.
Slap.
I was so disappointed walking out of the theater, and I could feel myself actively trying to think positive thoughts about this movie, and I just couldn't. Outside of the opening, I was just like, oh, man, they really dragged this franchise down. And you know, Steve Zahn's character, he's really fucking annoying.
I thought he had some good scenes.
He had a couple of good moments, but near the end, I was just like, oh, I've had enough, dude. Like, oh, man.
I saw The Late Show, started pretty late, and during that middle scene, I might have been fading pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
It goes on forever.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. I had a hard time getting through it. Major, major disappointment. And
All hate mail to Adrian.
Yeah, I've already taken some already from some of my friends on Twitter.
Nice.
But you know what? I'm not making this up. Like, I wouldn't lie about this just for the attention. Like, I went into this hoping to love it.
You are the biggest internet troll that I know.
I am a bit of a troll, but I wouldn't do that.
No, dude, you just told me why you didn't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's enough for me.
Yeah, and yeah, the runtime I thought was punishing.
2 hours and 20-something minutes?
Yeah.
If that had been an hour and 40, hour and 50,
yeah,
that would have been a tight film.
Yeah, yeah, I probably would have enjoyed it a lot more. But I've read some positive reviews and I'm just like, I didn't see that version of the movie. I can't get with that.
Noted asshole Jeff Wells please don't sue me, says this movie brings Matt Reeves up to like the Spielberg Lucas level of directors.
Wow. I can see that from a technical aspect, but not from the storytelling aspect.
No. Yeah. This is not E.T.
No, definitely not.
This is not Empire Strikes Back.
No.
Even though that end scene tried to be like Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did I mention there was like 50 helicopters?
Minimum.
Yeah. Missiles. Yeah. Thousands of men. Trey Parker yelling, America, fuck yeah. It was great. Right.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention too is the score was really good. Probably the first half of the movie. Then second half, it just overstayed its welcome.
Nice.
Is what I would say. It was way too manipulative during the emotional beats, and I thought it got in the way and kind of ruined it for me. So
I don't think you liked this as much as I did.
No. I will not be buying the 4K UHD disc.
That is the standard. Will Adrian buy the 4K UHD disc?
That's right. No, I won't.
You have to start a Twitter account.
I should.
Adrian, 4K UHD.
Yeah. Am I buying it? No.
Or for the Planet of the Apes.
That's right.
No.
Hell no, dude. Hell no.
All right, enough of that shit.
We're ready to move into our next part of the show, the movie club. This is where Bill picks a movie that I haven't seen. I don't know how he knows, but I've never seen the movie before, so it's always a first time viewing. This is movie club movie number 49, which is really cool. And this episode's movie club selection is The Virgin Suicides. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this movie?
Sofia Coppola's first film, y'all. Pretty accomplished for first film. Yeah. A group of male friends become obsessed with five mysterious sisters who are sheltered by their strict religious parents in suburban Detroit in the 1970s. James Woods, Kathleen Turner, Kirsten Dunst, and Josh Hartnett. Yeah. Whatever happened to him? I saw this movie twice in 2 days.
Okay.
When it first opened.
Cool.
I watched it today. It still kicks my ass.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's a really amazing film.
Yeah.
To me, it's all about the mystery of women to young boys and how they just aren't quite there yet mentally to handle women.
Yeah.
And I was like that when I was a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
All these women were like, oh, my God, they're so much more advanced than us.
Yeah.
Like, look at her. She is, like, unobtainable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's what this movie is to me. Throwing with some other subject matter too, but it's all about these boys who are just freaking fascinated by these women who are just so much better than them, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And they hold them on the highest pedestal because they don't know any better.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really challengingly cool film.
Yeah.
From, a first time filmmaker.
Yeah.
I think it's a masterpiece, and I have no idea what you thought about it.
Yeah.
This might get weird. Right. This might not get weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a bit of I mentioned to you briefly, I said I had a delayed reaction to this one because I didn't feel a lot while I was watching it. But one thing is for sure, the opening just annihilated me. The little girl who said, you've never been a 13-year-old girl before. And I was just like, holy shit. Okay. Buckle up. And the further away I got from the movie, though, the more I got out of it and the more I enjoyed it on reflection. So for me, this is one of those times where it helps to have a few days to reflect on it. And I've thought about it basically nonstop since I watched it, which I think is one of the main objectives to the film, is just to get people thinking about the way we perceive beauty and the way we perceive ourselves. Because the boys, a lot of boys will, and men will be able to relate to this stuff. Like when I was 14, 15, your hormones are doing crazy things to your body and to your mind. You can't think straight. And you have these feelings that you can't quite put into words. And for me, this movie was just kind of about how these boys saw them as objects of their desire. They saw them as almost as a means to an end to fulfilling their, sexual conquests. And the thing that clicked for me, this is a minor spoiler. If you haven't seen the movie, I think we will get into spoiler territory on this one just because
it's not a new film, folks.
It's not a new film. It's been around a while. So check the show notes and skip ahead if you need to. But one of the things that really clicked for me was during like the final sequence, pretty much, when they go to meet the girls. And one of the boys just says, I just want to feel up one of these girls. I don't care which one it is. And it just showed, like, he didn't care. He didn't have a name. He didn't have a favorite. He didn't attach himself to any one of them.
Okay, I gotta come back on this one. But that's being a teenage boy, where you totally boast to your friends about shit you haven't actually done.
Yeah.
They do that through, you know, the entire film, and it's all fake.
It is, yeah.
All these guys, I think, are just so... it's like those girls are a mystery to them, to the point where it rocks them until they're adults about what happened, because they have no idea. They were such mysteries.
Yeah.
All they have is like shit they either stole or found on the curb because their mother wanted Lux to burn her Kiss album.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never burn a Kiss album, by the way.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Don't even get me started on that.
And I wanted to clarify, I'm not saying that the boy there was in the right or the wrong. I'm not placing harsh judgment on him,
because
I did that as a kid too.
Yeah, totally. I think that's what's great about the film. I think it captures that whole, you know, oh yeah, she sucked my dick on the weekend. Well, you know damn well that dude has never been near a woman.
Yeah,
let alone, you know, had sex with her. You talk about like the beginning part with the there's five sisters. Cecilia, she's the first to go. She tries once and fails, but ultimately it happens. And she haunts these boys. All they can think about, even when they're sleeping, or they're going to school and they look up in a tree and there's Cecilia. Like, she is haunting them.
Oh yeah.
Until they're adults. Like, they in the movie, there's a voiceover throughout the entire film, and the voiceover talks about how, you know, every time the friends meet, they go through all the facts again.
Yeah.
Like, this is like a lifelong Sherlock Holmes thing to them.
Yeah, 20, 30 years.
And I think that is so cool. Like, the idea of, like, how these women just absolutely wrecked these people and really affected them.
Yeah.
I think it's genius. I've seen this movie 20 times.
Yeah.
And I watched it today, and it still kicked my ass.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
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 I like Hartnett.
Oh yeah.
One of my favorite scenes in the film is the female gaze when he walks into the school.
Oh yeah.
And every female is looking him up and down.
Yeah.
And thinking, that's cool. Yeah. It's usually the Phoebe Cates scene from Flash Times.
Yeah.
Fast Times. But this is like the opposite. All these women, everybody in that school wants to have sex with him.
Yeah.
Trip Fontaine.
Yeah, he's even got a cool name.
Love the name.
Yeah, that's super progressive.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
He's got the feathered hair and the sunglasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's pretty good in the film. You know, he wants to get with Lux, the Kirsten Dunst character, because she wants nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
So it's like a conquest to him.
Yeah.
But even after he gets the conquest and leaves her dry, he talks about how he fucked up.
Yeah.
And how she's also haunted him he's like, there's never been anybody like that since.
Yeah.
And never will be.
Yeah.
And they were together for a week.
Yeah.
Like, all these women in this film destroy these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Trip Fontaine.
Love that's it. Right.
That scene where he walks into the school and all the females are looking at him to Crazy on You by Heart.
Oh, yeah.
This film uses music so well.
Yeah.
Lots of really cool Heart songs, and Come Sail Away during the dance scene.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's great.
My favorite scene in the film is near the end where the boys, you know, being boys, finally figure out that, hey, maybe we should just call them. Finally.
Yeah.
After trying everything, they're like, fine, well, let's call them.
Yeah.
And they don't talk.
That's right.
They play music for each other. And it's beautiful.
It is.
I freaking love that scene.
Yeah.
Like, it's so perfect. The music is perfect. All the songs have like meaning about like how they haven't talked to somebody or something like that. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's almost like a jigsaw puzzle of connecting those songs together, I thought.
Yeah, and Trip leaves Lux in a football field and starts a chain reaction about how the girls get locked away like they're nuns and can't come outside, and it starts the downward spiral about how they're gonna kill themselves. And the ending, I think, is so well done. Just the way how Every time they go into a room, there's another body.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's perfect. The way they shoot it, the way they block it, everything is perfect.
Yeah.
And just, I think those boys are so screwed up now.
Oh, yeah.
Because of these girls.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think it's pretty much a perfect film. I don't think you're as high on it as I am, but that's really cool, too.
Yeah.
The thing I like about Movie Club is you just said you watched it, and then, like, 2 days later, you still weren't thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I can't say the same for movies that are coming out these days.
No, like, Michael Bay, Transformers.
And
I forgot that movie 2 minutes after I saw it.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the cool thing is that I mentioned already on this podcast and before we started recording, you know, it didn't click with me right away. Then I started thinking about it and I was like, and I talked to Will Lindis about this, a friend of ours, from Movie Bears podcast. And I thought, watching this at this time couldn't feel more timely because of all the violent crimes you see against women still to this day and how there are men out there who are just monsters who see women as just sexual objects and they feel entitled to them as well. I think there's a bit of entitlement there as well. Like, I think a lot of these boys just think that just by being there, they'll get with these girls. And
but come on, dude. One of the guys jumped off a roof to prove his love.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't in that group, though.
I fucking love that scene.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's on top of his roof. He's got his aviators on.
That's right.
And he looks to the sky and goes, I love you.
Yeah.
And then jumps.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
so
was
good.
Great. Yeah. That was really cool. But when you think about it, I just thought about my own, you know, personal experiences and, you know, the way I got the girl, you know, speaking from my past experience was just to be like, yo, what are your favorite movies and what music do you like?
Have a conversation.
Have a conversation and treat her like a person, not an object.
Show some personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that's what there was a little bit of that there, too, like maybe a bit of, you know, you can learn something from this.
But at the same time, I can relate to, you know, walking in a room and get introduced to a girl and she says five words to me. And I think all I can think about in my mind is, oh, fuck. She's amazing. Like,
oh, yeah.
And that also is what this film is about because all these boys, they've had very little contact with these people.
Mm-hmm.
Like just words.
Yeah.
And they're all destroyed by it.
Yeah.
Another cool thing, comparing this to The Beguiled.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a opposite kind of thing. How it's like the men and the women, not the women and the man.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like a sister film, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a cool little comparison.
That's cool.
Especially seeing how Sofia Coppola, I think, is a better filmmaker now.
Mm-hmm.
This film seems off.
Oh, really?
Like, almost like it's through a filter the entire film.
Right.
It's super soft. The colors look weird.
Yeah.
She's not the best filmmaker. It's some of it's pretty simple, but you look at this film, then you look at The Beguiled, the natural lighting and all that. I'm just like, wow, you've really advanced. She's turning into quite the filmmaker. And I think this was a really amazing start. You know, we all love Lost in Translation. We all hate Marie Antoinette. We all kind of think the Bling Ring's okay.
Yeah.
But, I think she's a force.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And I'm glad you dug the film.
Yeah.
You didn't like it as much as I did, but that's still really cool.
Yeah.
I love Movie Club.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, I'm hoping that I'm expanding your palate.
Oh, big
time. One movie at a time.
Yeah, big time.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the cool thing is that all of these movies have been ones that have been like, some people call it, you know, like your list of shame, the movies you haven't seen that you probably should have by now. Because, like, you know, I always think of this bad example. You know, that you remember that movie Project X, not the Broderick film, but the stupid
party film.
Party film. I own that on Blu-ray, and I've seen it like three times. So for me to see like Project X, and until, you know, 4 days ago, I hadn't seen The Virgin Suicides. Like, there's something really wrong with that picture. So Movie Club fixes that.
You know what, though? You weren't as busy as I was when I was a kid, but you're making up for it.
That's
really cool.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, between this and 24-hour movie marathons and stuff like that, that's awesome.
Yeah, plugging in these holes.
Keep on keeping on, man.
Yeah.
So Film number 50.
Yeah, big landmark.
Big landmark.
Yeah.
Go big or go home, man.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? You got to go for an all-timer here.
Okay.
When we were at the 24-hour movie marathon, Adrian, I think, saw his first Wong Kar-wai film.
I think so.
Yeah, Chungking Express.
Yeah.
Which is a masterpiece, too. But not my favorite Wong Kar-wai film.
Okay, yeah.
My favorite Wong Kar-wai film is In the Mood for Love.
Okay.
Which is film number 50. A film that I can't really put into words how much I love. So
wow.
Next episode is going to be really weird because I'm not going to be able to tell you why I like this movie.
Nice.
It's all about feeling.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's hard to relate. Cool. But I really hope you like this one.
Yeah.
This might kill Movie Club if you don't like it. No pressure.
No pressure.
Yeah, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Cool.
And I got a really sweet Criterion Blu-ray of it.
Nice.
Remastered up the ass. Like, it's
wicked.
Awesome.
Nice.
I really hope you like this one.
Awesome, dude. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
It's cool you brought this one in because I was debating. I was going to order this off the Criterion sale, but I...
Watch it first.
Yeah.
See
how it goes.
Tony Leung in a sharp suit and slicked back hair.
Nice.
And the great Maggie Cheung.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And Turn It Up.
Cool.
It's got the best score of all time.
Oh, nice.
So, wicked. Yeah. I adore this film. Mm-hmm. It's probably... I don't think it's technically in my top 10, but if we're going by favorite movies, it might be like my number 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice,
like, just for like actual feeling when I'm watching the film.
Yeah.
There's the Three Colors trilogy, and then there's In the Mood for Love.
Wicked.
So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
No pressure at all.
Yeah. I can't wait. Right on, dude. So yeah, as we mentioned already, it's Movie Club number 50, In the Mood for Love. Very excited about this one. So we always mention this. If you want to join Movie Club, it's just as simple as sending us a message, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook. Tell us what you think about the movie, whether it's In the Mood for Love or The Virgin Suicides or anything else we've had, any previous Movie Club movie, let us know and we'll mention it on the next episode.
I know a lot of people who love In the Mood for Love.
Cool.
So I might hit them up.
Right on.
Like, you owe me, motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, let's go.
Cool.
Write me a paragraph. It's a book report time.
Yeah, man. Why not?
Yeah.
That's cool. So yeah, for if you want to get it in time for the next episode, I will be recording around the July 30th, 31st. But if you happen to be listening to this days or weeks later, still send us your thoughts. We'll read it on a future episode.
I was going to like suggest that we do like a top 5 favorite Movie Club thing, but that sounds more like 100 to me.
You think so?
Yeah.
I still want to do something, though, like in terms of writing something up.
I like 100. That sounds like epic.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Yeah, I think we should really go all out on the 100th.
Yeah. Cool.
And the actual 100th episode of the show, where we like just talk about something for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe our favorite films or something. Yeah. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah, because like Dr. Strangelove, that's one that's already like on my all-time list and I've only seen it twice so far.
Yeah, and it was a Movie Club 3 episodes ago.
Yeah,
four
that's
episodes
right.
ago.
Yeah, I went out and ordered the Criterion copy right away and just love it.
Nice. More on that later.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You ready for the next part of our show?
Sure, man.
Cool. Let's get into lightning round. This episode's going to be a little bit lighter than usual just because there's not much out. Nobody wants to counter program against Spider-Man.
And there hasn't been much on iTunes either.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix for me.
Yeah, that's true.
Been putting stuff out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there seems to be a movie every week.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, saving us because, you know, what am I going to watch?
Exactly.
There's some stuff to watch this time, next episode, though. So we're good.
Cool.
Finally.
Yeah.
It's been a couple episodes, man. It's been thin.
That's right. Do you want to start us off?
Yeah, man. I watched the Netflix movie of last week, To the Bone.
Okay.
With Lily Collins and Keanu Reeves.
Oh, yeah.
About an anorexic woman who doesn't really want to get better, but everybody around her wants her to, and she tries to go to a clinic with a doctor who supposedly is doing, you know, new treatments. And it won't work because you have to hit rock bottom. And she has not hit rock bottom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's I don't want to be mean to this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I just don't relate.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the acting was really good. Some of the plot was good. I just thought it was kind of just there.
Yeah.
Which is too bad. I like Lily Collins. Keanu's pretty decent in it, actually.
Okay.
He's just Keanu.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's like a 3 out of 5 all day.
That's cool. Sometimes it's all you need.
Yeah, it's watchable enough, I guess. I hope you like it. I just didn't really relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only movie I watched. But I watched a short.
Okay.
We don't talk about shorts.
That's right.
So Neil Blomkamp has a new studio called Oats.
Oh, yeah.
And he put out a short called Zygote.
Okay.
And it stars Dakota Fanning.
Oh, cool.
It's like a space station being attacked by a creature that steals your memories and puts your body into itself.
Wow.
And it becomes this giant, like, arm, leg, head thing.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting looking.
Oh, cool.
It's directed by Neil Blomkamp, who, you know, love or hate, I think is a pretty good director.
Yeah.
And for being a pretty low-budget short, this is pretty effective.
Cool.
It's not the greatest short I've ever seen, but it's okay.
Cool.
It's a good first outing, and I hope to see more.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That sounds good. I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Right on.
That's it for me.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
All-time low for Bill.
As I said, I've been busy playing Horizon Zero Dawn.
That's right.
And visiting friends and doing summer stuff.
Oh, it's summertime, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that time of year, man.
Don't worry. In September, I'll have 150 films to talk about.
That's right. Going to bring it all to you on this podcast.
Yeah.
Right on. I only watched a couple of movies. Well, I've watched more than a couple. I'll get into it right now. Finally caught up with Take Me.
Hell yeah, you did.
A Netflix movie directed by Pat Healy. And full up front, he's friendly acquaintance of the show. We've met him at Fantastic Fest. And
disclaimer aside, was I not right about this one?
You were absolutely right.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Damn right
I was. This is a really fun movie to watch, and it's really uncomfortable. And when you feel uncomfortable, that's by design. The premise of the movie, I'll just give people a quick reminder. The character Pat Healy plays, he runs a business where he kidnaps people for 8 hours at a time so that they can get over something that's going on in their life. Like one guy, he wants to change his eating habits. So
he doesn't want to eat hamburgers anymore.
That's right. Yeah. So he makes Pat Healy abduct him, kidnap him and throw him in a dark basement and interrogate him and kind of shame him about his burger eating and tells him that he needs to start eating, green salad from now on. And he has like a collection of these photos of people he's taken under his wing. And that stuff was really cool because, you get the sense of the world he's living in and the business he's building. It's really messed up. And then he gets a call from Taylor Schilling's character. And she says, I want to be kidnapped for 48 hours. I want to completely disappear.
And cha-ching, he's getting paid.
That's right. Yeah,
so you can't say no.
She offers him a big paycheck. She asks him for things that he normally doesn't do because it crosses a line. but he's like, yeah, sure, because, he needs money. He owes people money. He's not well off. And he kidnaps her, and it goes south, man.
Oh, it
goes
south
real fast. And you're questioning what's happening. You don't know why this is happening. You're kind of wondering, is he being set up? Is she being set up? Are they both being set up? And you're just going through all of these weird questions in your head. And it's so funny along the way. Like, it's really dark, too.
Totally dark.
Because he's kidnapping her.
I can't believe how well this is constructed for being kind of like a little genre film.
Yeah.
Super glad you caught up with this one.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Netflix now?
Netflix now, yeah.
Oh, sweet.
So if you're listening to this, if you have Netflix, check it out.
It's called Take Me. Why didn't that come up in my main part on Netflix?
Yeah.
That's a mistake.
It is.
People need to see this.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I watched it on iTunes.
Yeah, it's really good, man.
So good.
Yeah.
I'm super happy you liked it.
Yeah.
And yeah, as we said, Pat Healy's cool.
Yeah.
So support Pat Healy.
He's an awesome guy.
Yeah.
Total film scholar. He knows his stuff. He knows, like, when he's delivering comedic beats, he's just, he knows what he's doing. He's well aware of what he's doing, and it's exciting watching him work. So
I got four words for you.
Yeah.
Pat Healy's hairpiece.
Oh, man. That thing was a character on its own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. I love that. And I love how they just kind of bring it up every now and again during the movie, and it's funny every time.
Which is funny because he usually has like the shaved head, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But when I met him, he had really long hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, wow, you're Pat Healy. I don't really recognize you because you have really long hair.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, such a good movie.
Depends on what he's up to.
It was on my mid-year list.
That's right.
And I think it's really damn good. It's like one of the most underappreciated films of the year. So please support it.
Big time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what we're here for. Take notes, people.
Watch the movie. Make sure Netflix knows you're watching the movie. And get this guy some more work. Everybody involved.
How awesome is it that Netflix is giving people like Pat Healy money?
Yeah. That's cool.
Awesome.
That's super cool.
Yeah. Make him Blair.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. We need more of that.
Yeah.
And Taylor Schilling, I haven't really seen her in a lot of movies. Just mostly know her from Orange is the New Black. And I was like, man, put her in some more movies, too. she's really good.
She's got great timing.
Yeah.
Yeah, really great.
Yeah.
I love that film.
Yeah, so enjoyable. So happy I caught up with Take Me. And the other movie I watched, one of the other ones, I watched Doctor Strangelove again. Second time, my Criterion Blu-ray arrived, and I showed it to Kyle, and he fell in love with it. And just like me, he had a huge reaction to when Slim Pickens pulled his cowboy hat out of the safe. But like for me, that was more of a comedic beat. But for Kyle, he took it more seriously, and I thought that was awesome. Like he's like, "Oh man, yeah, he's really proud of his heritage and proud to be American."
And it's go time.
Yeah, it's fucking go time. Yeah. Like shit's on, and I could tell he was really inspired by that. And dude, Peter Sellers, dude, he's just on his own planet in this world, in this movie, and I love it.
Everybody, George C. Scott.
George C. Scott, yeah.
We talked about it for like 20 minutes, like four episodes ago, you know my love of Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, yeah.
But I gotta ask, you watched my Sony Blu-ray, and you watched the Criterion Blu-ray. Was there much of a difference in transfer? Please say no, because I don't really want to buy it. Because I will buy it, you dumb mother.
You know, I think there was.
Oh.
And there's a lot more special extra features and interviews that were really freaking cool, like interviews with Kubrick. And
Damn.
It's well worth
picking up. I don't want to have to buy that.
Yeah.
But I will.
Down the road, dude.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Like, I got to buy Barry Lyndon from Kubrick
in October. That's right.
Damn it.
But yeah, this time the ending was really bittersweet for me, and I think that's kind of pretty common reaction. You know, you've got when he goes, "Mein Führer, I can walk." And then you see nuclear holocaust.
Yep.
And it's just so harrowing. Like, it's just such, you hit this incredible high, then an incredible low. And this time around, I was kind of half laughing, half crying. And
yeah,
it's awesome.
It's an all-timer, man.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. It's my second favorite Kubrick film.
Nice.
In a catalog of masterpieces. My favorite Kubrick is A Clockwork Orange.
Nice.
It's an amazing film.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to buy it now.
Sorry about that.
$50.
Yeah.
How much did you pay for it?
I think it was $40-45 maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Off Amazon.com. It was cheaper to buy it from the U.S. store.
Wow.
It's dumb.
We got screwed, man.
Yeah.
I got to find some used Blu-ray shops in Austin.
Yeah, I think
that have a lot of like $10 Criterions that I'm going to load up on.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to go.
That is the life if we can get it.
Yeah. I also watched some other movies. For the first year, we're covering Fantasia. That's the genre film festival that takes place in Montreal every year. It's like about a 2 week or 2.5 week festival.
Isn't it longer?
Is it? Is it 3 weeks?
I think it's like almost like 3 weeks.
Yeah, it is. It's a Goliath.
and coming from a guy who does a 14-day festival.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's hard.
14 is hard.
Yeah, yeah.
So add another 8 on it, and you got my year this year.
That's right. I've been watching a bunch of movies for Fantasia, and I'll probably just save them up and do them in one episode, either next episode or one after that, just because the embargoes are all different dates. So
the best part is one of the films, a friend of mine watched a screener for VIFF, and said it was one of the worst films he's ever seen.
Oh, no way.
I think you know which one I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah, he absolutely hated every
frame. Is it the one that I watched?
Yeah.
Okay.
He hated every frame of it.
Brutal.
Yeah.
I can totally see why.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you'll have that to look forward to. We'll tag that in the episode. We'll probably call it like episode 76 plus Fantasia or something like that.
Cool.
Yeah, that's it for my lightning round.
All right. So we got some films opening.
Yeah.
Some good, some bad. As we said before, Dunkirk, 70 millimeter.
Yeah, man.
July 21st. I hope everybody gets a chance to see it. I would love, personally, to see it at the Alamo Drafthouse Ritz.
That would be sweet.
In downtown Austin. I think Will Lindis is, you lucky bastard.
Yeah.
I think he posted a picture of his ticket.
Oh, man.
You bastard.
Lucky.
Yeah. It's already getting a lot of talk.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't go on Twitter anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't really want to be ruined.
Yeah.
Any frame of this film.
Yeah.
Girl Trip.
Okay.
Jada Pinkett Smith and a bunch of her friends go on a I think it's to New Orleans.
Yeah,
during,
that's right.
During Mardi Gras, yeah. And stuff ensues. It won't open here.
Probably not.
Yeah, it's a movie involving African-American people. We live in the whitest place in the world, so nothing opens.
Yeah, that's a shame, because I want to see this one.
It looks okay, yeah. It looks like it could be fun. Yes, finally, we get to see Valerian.
Hey.
And the City of Lost Planets.
Mm-hmm.
Luc Besson is back.
Yeah.
In Fifth Element mode.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that. Bring it on. Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah.
First trailer did nothing for me.
Okay.
I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
Second trailer is the best trailer I've seen this year.
Nice.
It is amazing.
Nice.
So people have been saying it's good, so cool. I can't wait.
Yeah.
July 28th, Atomic Blonde.
Oh, yeah.
Charlize Theron in ass-kicking mode.
Yeah.
I got no problem with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It looks pretty cool. The trailers look fun.
Yeah.
James McAvoy's in it. Like him.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not a good sound, dude.
We're not seeing this. I'm already saying this.
Okay.
So if you want to get a review of the Emoji Movie from some other place, feel free. But you're not getting it here.
Yeah.
Because Adrian's not going to see it.
Definitely not.
And I'm not going to see it.
No.
And I actually mean it this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, won't be seeing the Emoji Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. An Inconvenient Sequel.
Oh, yeah.
It with Al Gore talking about climate change. First one's really good.
Oh, yeah.
I hope for more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
I already know what's going on.
Yeah.
So it might not be as impactful as the last one was.
Right, yeah.
But you know what? Al Gore's pretty charismatic about talking about climate change.
Oh, yeah.
So I think this is going to be pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
We also get The Little Hours on Friday.
Okay.
Which looks really great.
Cool.
But that's it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's better than, you know, a few episodes ago where it was like, there are only three movies and that's it.
That is it.
Yeah.
But some good stuff.
Right on.
And Dunkirk in 70, man.
Yeah. We'll talk about that whole experience.
Doesn't get much better than that. The cool thing about 70 millimeter, it's event cinema.
Mm-hmm.
When we saw Hateful Eight in 70, it was like old-time cinema.
It was.
People were excited.
Yeah.
They were giving out programs.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And I hope Dunkirk is just like that. And we got some friends coming. It's going to be like a little reunion. It's going to be
totally
sweet.
Yeah.
I can't wait. People I love, man.
Oh, yeah.
And I love seeing them. So it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Hopefully we record something and it'll be great.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I'd be all about that. Right on, dude. So that's what we have coming up on the next episode. I guess we can tell people where they can find us online if they're crazy enough to seek us out online. You're on Twitter, right?
I am, at SoundJam69. Say hi.
Cool. And the show has a Twitter account. We're at @green_screen. I'm also on Twitter. I'm at @Adrian_Charlie. We're also on Facebook. Run a search in Facebook, The Green Screen of Death, and hit like, and you can see us post there once in a while. You can also find us on various podcast platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, also Google Play. And we'd appreciate it if you left us a review, hit like, and leave some comments.
Guess who left a rating, baby?
Oh, who's that?
Moi.
Oh, hey.
I left a rating.
Yeah.
I left a little like note saying how awesome I am.
Cool.
And Adrian's pretty cool, too. But I finally did it. I've been talking about it for 2 years.
Right on.
And I was just on iTunes earlier today, looked at the green screen page. Nice. And it was like podcasts other people follow.
Yeah.
And it was all the ones that I follow.
Oh, cool.
So does anybody else not follow on iTunes? Because it was like a bunch of stuff that I think probably only me would like.
Yeah.
It felt weird. Subscribe on iTunes, damn it. Cool.
Yeah, man.
Auto downloads.
Yeah. Hook us up. And of course, we have the website, thegreenscreenofdeath.com, and we will be posting some Fantasia coverage on there as well. So if you want to get a preview of some of the movies we'll be reviewing there, they'll show up on thegreenscreenofdeath.com.
Cool.
Cool. So that wraps episode 74, man.
I'm my nose is starting to feel a little stuffed right now, but man, does it feel good not to be freaking sick.
Yeah.
Oh.
You were on your deathbed the last two episodes.
I totally was. It sucked.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was good.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We'll talk with you next time.
Peace.